Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. Today, Dr. Andy Atwood is here to talk with us about this thing called change in human development or evolution of consciousness. He's a friend, a colleague, a husband, a father, a grandfather. He's an entrepreneur, an advisor and consultant to family-owned businesses. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist and also has a doctor of divinity. Andy, I've known him for a long time, is one of the most voracious readers and lifelong learners. A student, he claims to be at least above average.
Right, at least, Andy? I am at least above average. Lake Wobegon, right?
Yeah, there you go. So welcome, Andy. I brought you in today because the thing we do with men is help them grow, help them become a better versions of themselves, and kind right. of this idea of human development and how do we evolve ourselves. You've been a student of that over the years, and you've taught me a lot. There's plenty of philosophers, psychologists, theologians, thought leaders who have written about how we grow and develop as human beings. You know, Beck with spiral dynamics, Kohlberg with moral development, Piaget, cognitive development, follower, faith development. And then you had Ken Wilber come along and said, here's a theory of everything, right? And tried to put it all together.
Yeah.
But you understand this, and you even do a more simplistic version of like the Sam Keen model. And so, so just talk
That's
a little bit about
it. That's the one I use
it.
The most with people when I'm working with them.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, anthropology, I mean, the study of human development has gone on for a long, long time. And I have been interested in all of this since college, and then particularly when we started to have kids and watching our own children to grow and develop and change.
Right.
So I've read broadly in that whole field, and it was in 1995 when I read Ken Wilber's big fat tome, Sex, Ecology, Spirituality. You know, it's got 250 pages of footnotes. I mean, it's a big book.
Right.
And what I realized there is this guy was a genius. He had a theory of everything. And I kind of liken it to like a Dewey Decimal System for organizing books in the library.
Right.
The theory, you know, integral theory helps me to organize everything.
Right.
And that brings order out of chaos for me, which really helps. So in the process of digging into all of that, I started to learn about different theories of development. And like he's got one book, Integral Psychology, that literally has 100 different developmental models laid out page after page. So I know that you read the research and you read all these authors from all around the world down through the ages. And we do, as I like to, everything about me is I've stolen from someplace, right? So it's wake up, grow up, clean up, and show up. That's kind of where I focus. I'm trying to help people to wake up, myself,
right,
grow up, clean up, so I can show up as a more mature, more evolved human being. Right? So does it make sense?
Yeah. So then what, like a Sam Keen model, he would do the what? He's got the child, rebel, adult, outlaw, lover.
Lover, and then I add enlightened lover on top of that. You know, it's just like, remember, let's see, what was Maslow's hierarchy of needs? You know, it was later in life that he came up with the self-transcendence piece. Self-actualization was his top one for a while, and then self-transcendence. So Keen, I like him because he has language that is easy for people to understand. I mean, we all start out as a dependent child.
Right.
And then we move along, and somewhere in pre-adolescent adolescence, we become a counter-dependent rebel where we learn to say no and flip the bird to things and just kind of go in the opposite direction, right? Some of us get arrested there. And ideally, we grow through that and we take our place in the adult world.
Right.
Where we learn about rules and roles and creeds and codes and doctrines and dogmas, and we become good card-carrying members of our church and our community and the scouts and whatever.
Right.
But then the next step is to become the outlaw, to step beyond the laws of the community that you belong to and to begin to think for yourself.
Bob but you're Keegan. Not breaking the laws like the rebel.
No, the rebel is pushing against authority.
Right.
The outlaw is principle-centered.
Right.
So there's a huge difference. And we do not have good rituals in our community systems for honoring outlaws.
Right.
And beyond the outlaw, then, is the lover who really has learned to embrace the child, the rebel,
right,
the adult, the outlaw, and the lover. And then the enlightened lover really has experienced oneness with the divine and is really encouraging growth and development through all those stages.
Right.
So,
you called me an outlaw when I first came here in 2000. I don't know if you remember that. I was leaving a corporate mental health facility, and I was getting myself into some trouble.
I had my wife just had some folks into the office, and one of those people, I told her I was coming over to see you, and she works for that institution. Oh yeah, I remember Randy, and it's true that you wanted to author your own. Yeah. Clinical practice, your own life in so many ways. I mean, you were, you know, it was one more step away from heart, right?
Big step.
So,
And it was kind of this idea of doing men's work. And mm-hmm. I think that one of the things I want to try to help our listeners understand is that the amount of discipline and courage and vulnerability it takes to do this thing called human development and understand your inner life. And so I guess I want to have you do an appeal to men who might be listening and who, you know, like buy into and make a real man. Why would you sit around and talk about your inner life and do all that development stuff? It's about learning a trade and being being something more external. But what is it about developing ourselves into a higher person.
So I've been at this for, you know, pushing 50 years now, frankly. And today I work with leaders in family-owned businesses or in businesses that feel like family.
Right.
And the research on leadership today is so clear that we don't need reactive leaders. We need more creative leaders who have figured out how to have great relationship skills, who know how to have a lot of self-awareness, who live with a lot of authenticity, who have large systems perspectives on things, and who can push ahead and achieve and marshal resources in order to achieve something. Well, those kind of creative leaders, we need them today in order to survive and adapt in the world that we're in. There's a lot of talk, a guy named Bob Johansson, I think his name was, came up with this concept of the VUCA world. It's volatile, it's uncertain, it's complex, and it's ambiguous. And in that world, if you're functioning at a lower level, if you're just, frankly, if you're just an adult following rules, you're going to be in over your head in no time.
Right.
You're not going to be able to lead into the future that is coming at us fast, fast, fast. So in the work I do, I'm trying to help leaders to develop to wake up, to grow up, clean up the junk in their life up to a point. That's another thing. You and I haven't talked about this, but I've really gotten to the point here where I'm saying, hey, I'm really sorry your life is damaged. Sorry you were wounded, child. Sorry you were hurt. And that's as far as we're going to go with it.
Right.
I'm just going to be sorry about it because what we need you to do is step ahead. Mm-hmm. You got to move beyond it right now because we don't have time to, you know, go back and heal everything.
Right. So these leaders in a 21st century kind of economy, and I've heard like Seth Godin is a person who talks about a connection or a service economy that requires these newer skills that are relationship based, that are have a level of emotional intelligence. And so that's what you're saying. You're seeing these are the guys that can thrive if they're buying into that kind of development.
The data is clear. Here's a list of 10 traits that we need to have. Strong people skills. We have to be visionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Team builders. Right? We have to have be personable, approachable, you know, attractive. We got to attract other people. We have to be able to lead by example, have passion and drive around purpose. Good listener, develops people, empowers people, and fosters a positive attitude. There's data that says all 10 of those things are associated with being a creative leader moving into the 21st century. And so my appeal is to people is if you want to thrive in this culture, in this work environment, in your business,
you got to
figure out how to develop these capacities and capabilities.
And so the work that I've aspired to do with men is help is again your role as a consultant and out there with leaders and stuff, and that's a role that's important. And so, and you've also done, you know, more psychotherapy, traditional and such. And so
cleaning up, still do, which, work with people to clean up stuff.
And so when you have a guy that is in a men's circle and says, well, why should I take the time to clean myself up? Why should I take the time to develop those emotional skills? I mean, what do you want to say about the time?
So that you can be in a more effective control of your life.
Right.
So that you can make a larger contribution. The world is moving towards, I'm a fan of conscious capitalism that really supports organizing businesses around a noble purpose where there's meaning involving all stakeholders in an organization and having highly evolved conscious leadership and conscious culture. So it's just if you want to be more competitive, it's not just having bigger muscles. Now that may be in some businesses and industries. You know, if you're going to be a mason, I think you want to have big muscles.
Right.
But if you're going to be the guy that owns the mason's company, then you've got to have a different set of skills.
Right.
On top of, you still may need to know how to lay brick.
Yeah, so that it's not as though those economies will go away completely. It's just that we're in a tremendous shift in what is needed to be able to be fit.
Yeah, correct. So here you're talking about, I'm reading Peter Diamantis, I think his name is. He's been involved in Singularity University through Google with Ray Kurzweil and so on.
Right.
And he's writing a book about, has written a book about what's going to happen in the next 10 years. And it's just amazing. And we need people who have the mental agility to be able to process the changes that are coming on as we have augmented reality and artificial intelligence and sensors and that are going to be attached to everything.
Right.
It's a different world coming our way.
And that more specifically is kind of moving out of what we term the gender binary. You said something to me in one of our conversations, and I quote you, nothing as strong as real gentleness and nothing as gentle as real strength. And when that was coming out of this conversation about gender roles and kind of how things are mixing and mashing.
Correct. So the old ideas about just strength and dominance. You read things in the way the military has moved, team of teams, and some of the literature that it takes the soft skills, which are really hard skills to develop.
Right,
they're necessary in our world today, and so I'm trying to encourage that in the people that I work with,
right,
who tend to be business leaders now.
Right. Well, you're the one who introduced me to Spiral Dynamics, and they talk about the evolution of humanity, cultures, and the way in which we can move to. And you talk about how you don't abandon things you learn at earlier stage.
Nope. So transcend and include. That's a concept from Wilbur. Yeah. You transcend and include. So, the dependent child, I'm thoroughly going to enjoy going home. This happens to be Valentine's Day. I'm going to go home this evening, and I'm going to enjoy being taken care of by my wife tonight, who told me we're going to have a wonderful dinner at home. So there's a part of me that still enjoys just being nurtured and cared for. And there is a part of me that can be very rebellious. I don't like being controlled. I've been fiercely independent my whole life. I like to think on my own. And I've had one experience being employed by a church, and it ended up being a devastating failure. So so I've learned that it can be a rebel if I need to be, take care of, and I do know that I've got to be an adult. I have to stop at red lights. I mean, there are there's rules and creeds and codes that I need to follow, but I am an outlaw. I am an entrepreneur. I do think out of the box. And I encourage an awful lot of that. The Atwood family motto is, you probably never have seen this, but it's it's the courage to grow and the right to fail.
Mm.
You know, that it's up to me to exercise the courage to grow, but it's up to my family to give me the right to fail.
Right.
And not all communities that I have belonged to over the years have given me the right to fail, but I've failed anyway.
Right. You know? Well, that's a beautiful way of Describing one of the purposes of family is being able to have that safety net to fail and be loved and be supported. And
that encourages you to exercise the courage it takes to grow, to entertain wild and crazy thoughts.
Right. So let's talk about this idea, you know, again, whatever model we use, whether it's Keene or whether it's spiral dynamics, but there's this, and I think what we are running into today in society is that there's a fear of emasculating men or softening men, making men weak, making men like women. Mm-hmm. And there's this, and so when people start talking about emotional intelligence and being vulnerable, having compassion, the fear is that we're going to make men weak and we're going to lose masculinity.
Right.
So how would you talk about how we can continue to hang on to all that's good and all that's wonderful about masculine energy, while at the same time we're moving, evolving, and developing?
I'd say it's transcend and include. You don't want to get rid of anything that's ever really worked for you, but you need to add to your repertoire all the time, right? So that the person who has the largest repertoire, we know this in systems theory, right? In family systems work, the part of the system that has the most options available to it is the most powerful part of the system.
Right.
So the encouragement is to men, and women, I don't want to just talk about, is to cultivate as many of the natural strengths that you have. You know, I'm a big fan of the strengths movement that's out today, Gallup and the Strengths Finder and so on.
Right.
Trying to help people to identify where are you strong, cultivate those strengths. And we do know that we need in our world today people that can, that have the strengths that are the soft skills, our interpersonal relationship skills that are hard to acquire. They're hard to acquire.
Right. So it's a cross-training. And I think for women, when they were moving through the women's suffrage movement and then the women's movement, there was some encouragement for women to learn how to develop masculine skills and energy, to learn how to debate, learn how to play sports, learn how to get credentialed, learn how to... And so there was an encouragement of cross-training. Now, if you take men...
Right.
And you're going to have a men's movement, and you're going to cross-train them, it gets seen as you're emasculating, you're weakening them, rather than seeing them developing their repertoire.
Right. But that's not in my world.
I know that, but that's why I have you here, to try to convince people that this is a good movement, and we get lost in binaries, we get lost in zero-sum games.
It goes, you know, it... a lot of women made a serious effort at trying to be male-like. Right. And what the research is indicating today is that women have these softer skills more naturally than men do. And the research is indicating oftentimes make better leaders than men do because they have the capacity to build teams, build communities, listen to people, do the soft skills, relate to human beings, and create environments that are safe for people. And it changes. I work a lot in the, interestingly, I work a lot with construction companies, which is obviously a pretty masculine world.
Right.
And the companies that seem to do the best, this is true, really do the best, are the ones that are most sensitive to the human beings that are in their employment. They are.
It's not just the ones who push dirt the fastest, but...
right. Not the guy with the biggest bulldozer. No, it's also...
That helps.
And they have the capacity, they take care of their people. They're attentive to their people. And this is a world. I'm working with a guy that have been for years who works for he's in the tech world. Works for a company out of San Francisco, lives in Grand Rapids, is about to have his third child. He's getting 3 months off. 3 months off for him to be a dad. And it doesn't, you know, that's different.
Right. Well, that's valuing, again, the diversity that men have in their lives rather than just being a breadwinner.
Correct.
It gives them permission to be a dad.
And that company in San Francisco also knows if they don't provide those kinds of perks, benefits, they're not competitive when it comes to retaining employees.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because, you know, when I had kids, you had the baby was born in the middle of the night and you were at work in the morning.
Right. So, and you weren't allowed in the delivery room probably, right? Or you passed
first that. Time, no. Second time, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things are changing.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've heard you talk about too is compassionate capitalism. And mm-hmm. you talk about, again, if we can keep boys wired to their hearts mm-hmm. and not get cut off from their hearts
right.
and can you hang on to the ability for compassion and care. Mm-hmm. I know you have a passion for caring for Mother Earth and caring
I
for
do.
And so do you see that as also being that these that really profound and innovative leaders of the future will be people who can be capitalists as well as integrating that with care of the earth and care for people?
Absolutely correct. All right. So integrated. I've got this book that I'm going to have published in the spring, Loving Mother Earth, Integrating Environmentalism and Spirituality. Mm-hmm. If we don't love Mother Earth, and that's kind of the root of the problem. We talk about climate change or a global right. environmental emergency I talk about. And we just simply don't love the world and any part of it like
right.
we need to. We've just used it up.
And I've seen research actually that makes it hard for men to be green or to buy into that movement because, again, it makes them feel unmasculine to care for something.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's that rigid view of mm-hmm. if I'm a man, I shouldn't have to care about, you know, this.
I shouldn't have to care about the house that I live in that's burning down. Okay, you know, so there's right. I'm trying to come back and appeal to people in terms of just their common sense. And oftentimes for me, it's economics. I mean, I'll go to as much as I can draw cause-effect relationships for people that
right.
if you don't take care of your the property, the things that you have, if you're not cautious about how you spend your money, what you know, we're consumers, quote unquote. You know, I don't right. want to be a consumer. I'm trying to consume less. We all need to consume less.
Right.
So it's that whole idea of the guy with the most toys wins. Well, that's got to go.
Right, right.
You know, so I'm trying right. to encourage people to get beyond that.
Okay. So talking about kind of shifting us back a little bit to the work I'm trying to do here with men, and if you were to make an appeal to someone who might see that this inner work, this, you know, working on myself and mm-hmm. working on my ability to understand my emotions and
waking up to who I am,
yeah.
right? Becoming more aware of my emotions,
right.
but my thoughts, my worldview,
right.
the biases and prejudices I have. You know, I grew up in the New York metropolitan area. When I came out here to West Michigan to go to Hope College, I was really weirded out by the experience I had here. But it's ended up serving me well because I can appreciate the different cultures.
Right.
That are from just here in the United States, from the East Coast to the Midwest here. It's different. I need to be awake to the subtleties and the differences that happen in different environments.
Right.
From business to business to business. I go into one business, it's got a different culture than the next one does.
Right.
Right. So okay. I want to develop the capacity and encourage people to function effectively in as many environments as possible. Make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
because
again, it goes back to systems theory. The most powerful part of the system is the most powerful part of the system is the one that has the most options available to it.
Right. Yeah, that's what I try to talk to the men about is saying that you want the most fit and the more mature person is a person who can read the context in which they're in.
Correct.
And then call upon what human trait or skill is needed within that context.
Correct.
It's kind of like an emotional toolbox that's full of a variety of tools and you pull which one you need.
Correct. And if we're scaling up in leadership, not only do I want to be able to pull that out of myself, I want to create an environment with that evokes that out of the people that I'm teaming with.
Right.
So that art, because it takes the collective genius of the group today to prevail over the lone genius of years gone by.
Right.
Right. So today I want to create environments in which everybody's best stuff shows up.
Right.
You know, which that has to be an environment that is where people truly are fearless.
Right.
not because they're sociopaths and crazy, but because they've learned to step through their fear
right.
out of some innate confidence. And there's an environment there that's safe.
Right. So in our society today, I think that people are like, there's tapping into some men that are lost or people that, you know, want to go back and hearken back to earlier days.
Oh, there's a lot of that right now.
And there's a lot of fear about where we're going. And mm-hmm. and I'm just wondering, you know, what you want to say about how we can, not only as individuals, but as a culture, move forward and reduce some of the division and try to, I think we all want the same thing, but these ideas of how we're going to get there is creating.
Well, and we all know that polarization is yeah. just horrible today. And it's, yeah. and for this is, again, where understanding developmental theory and in particularly spiral dynamics,
right.
which is easy to learn and easy to teach. I mean, my kids know it, and I'm working on my grandkids, that we've extolled the virtues of the conventional world for years, and we'd like to return to some of that, thinking that everything will work better. And it's just it's a temporary elixir that just sort of makes things okay for a short while, but it isn't, it's, the world is still moving ahead. It's, I was really influenced significantly by Robert Persig's book, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and right, his follow-up right. book, Lila, in which he talks about how dynamic the world is.
Right.
And it's this evolutionary process is built into creation. So for me to deny the reality of that, or for you to deny the reality right. of that, is really to kind of stick your head in a hole.
Right.
And so I'm trying to encourage people in saying, look, you don't have to, you know, if you want to be big and tough, you can be big and tough, but you got to add to that.
Right.
You have to be more than that.
Right.
In order to survive effectively, right. to take good care of your kids, your grandkids, your family, your business.
Right.
Whatever community of people that you belong to and that you right. you really love and want to support.
Right.
And then I go to, if you want to live on planet Earth, you got to figure out how to take care of Mother Earth.
Right.
Because everything that's here, everything comes from Mother Earth. Everything.
Right. And that's what I see with the men that come here, that they will come as manly men with sometimes their trucks and their crafts.
I drive a truck.
And right. And they come and they don't have the emotional intelligence and they don't have the capacity for intimacy. They develop that. They cross train and they
That's
expand
great.
The repertoire.
That's
and
great.
They don't lose their truck. They don't lose their trade as an electrician. They don't right. lose their ability to be a trial attorney. They maintain that because that
Correct.
Gets included as they transcend.
Correct. Transcend.
Right.
To higher levels of consciousness,
right?
But always include the best,
right?
You know, you try to define what the best is from the worst. Keep the best, put the worst in a box right. someplace, unless you need it someday. But then you just keep moving and growing.
Right.
I mean, that's why what you do is so important, helping people to. And so it doesn't make any difference what level you're at. I mean, I have business owners that, right, have struggled with sexual addictions and,
right.
all, you know, all the same old stuff everybody struggles with.
Right.
And nonetheless, they know that they have to develop their team.
Right.
They have to develop their community of people if they want to be competitive in this world.
Right. So, well, that's why I wanted to, as we kind of wind down, bring you here, just because I think that you have offered a rich and informed conversation about what we try to do here, and that is help people be a better version of themselves, inspire them to want to grow, expand the repertoire, cross-train.
Correct. And as I'm working with leaders, not right. only do you want to expand and be the best version of yourself, you want to scale up your team and help right. everybody. It's your mission, not just to take care of yourself,
right.
but to take care of the community of people to which you belong.
What a great way to end. That should be a manifesto for all of us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, and that's right. it extends all the way out to Mother Earth herself.
Right.
That sustains us all.
Right. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing with having a conversation with
You're
me.
You're going to have me back sometime? We can talk about spirituality a little bit more?
I will, Dr. Atwood.
Thank you, Randy.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.